Welcome to another episode of Hypercritical Radio, brought to you by Fuel Lab. This episode is going to be the start of our bi-weekly episodes from now on. Told you guys I needed those reviews and those likes, and you let me down. So, we're going back to being bi-weekly. Hope you enjoy the show. We talk about, you'll hear it.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hypercritical Radio, brought to you by Professional Awesome. I am Mike Lewin, and today I am joined by
Devin Tyrone Giles
and Daniel Patrick O'Donnell.
Middle names are terrible. Anyway,
glad mine's not real.
So, yes, Michael Williams.
Don't start giving people middle names now. God, they're gonna hunt me down and kill me. I don't want that.
His social security number. If anyone wants to text me,
free social security numbers. Great credit. Don't you dare. Anyway, today we're gonna start off the episode by talking about some news. Time Attack news. Not Time Attack news, but news in Time Attack. So yesterday at 11 a.m. for immediate release, I have no idea what 11 a.m. is in everybody's time zone. I don't even know if it's
Universal, my time zone. 11 a.m.
11 a.m. Universal time, whatever that is. Anyway, a announcement went out that the North American Time Attack Council, which people may remember started 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
PRI?
Mm-hmm, 3.
Yep. 3 years ago, and it is a joint collaboration between SCCA, GridLife, Global Time Attack, as an attempt to codify rules, to bring more options and stability within Time Attack, to allow people to kind of cross-pollinate between the different organizations. Obviously, the rule sets are extremely different still. So they released a statement that said, basically, they are going to have a championship, which is going to be administered by Grassroots Motorsports. They are going to have three classes, very, very simple classes. One is unlimited tire, any car prepared to any specification and fitted with any tire. That is a lot of rules, almost too many rules to read. The next two classes are a large 200 treadwear tire, any car prepared to any specification and fitted with 200 treadwear or higher tires, wider than 255, indicated section width, on the widest tire on the car. So rear-wheel drive, if you have wider tires on the rear, that's going to come into play there. Or front-wheel drive, I guess, if you have larger front tires as well. Small tire, 200 treadwear tire, any car that is prepared to any specification and fitted with 200 treadwear tires or higher in terms of treadwear, but smaller than a section width of 255 millimeters on the widest tire on the car. So that's interesting. As a base, there's going to be three events. It's going to be based on points. You can sign up. What it says here, the more events a competitor enters, the more points they can win. In addition, sign up is automatic and every participant is eligible. At the end of the season, a winner from each class will be awarded an exclusive trophy and a feature in Grassroots Motorsports magazine. Upcoming events that qualify for NATA championship presented by Grassroots Motorsports are Super Lap Battle, Circuit of the Americas. So that's the Global Time Attack Super Lap. Obviously, in March. Then GridLife Midwest.
Hold on. One correction.
What?
Super Lap would be a standalone, not Global Time Attack Super Lap. It's a Super Lap battle.
Sure. Bye.
It's so confusing. I'm getting confused by that. They need to pick a name.
Pick a name. Super Lap. Then GridLife Midwest, which looks like the festival from June 2nd to the 4th. Is that the festival?
Yeah. Pretty sure. Yes.
Okay.
Benjamin.
Indeed.
Oh, Hayden's here.
Oh, my God.
Well, hey, bro.
So Hayden's joining us right in the middle of this. We're just talking about Time Attack news. SCCA Nationals at NCM, Bowling Green, October 12th through the 15th.
Is that what Tama wants us to do?
I think so.
That is correct.
I don't know for sure, but apparently Devin knows. So, yes.
Thank you.
That's something that makes sense, you know.
Yeah. And so we have the potential to go to two of those. We didn't plan to go to Super Lap as of right now. I'm sorry to tell everybody
it's
that.
It's not going
to
happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to change in the next 3 weeks.
I'm going to bring a trike and go myself on a trike. Like, not like a pedal trike, like a Harley trike. One of them really, I'm about to say something insulting, stupid things.
Yeah, it's a midlife crisis. There it is.
I don't get trikes. Trikes are like the worst of all things. Anyway, so that's interesting. We have the potential to go to two of them. Obviously, we'd fit into the unlimited tire. These are interesting classes on their own because, obviously, a lot of the times, this is very reminiscent of kind of SCCA autocross, right? That's kind of where the classes come from, where it's more indicative on tire than it is anything else kind of feel as well, and section width as well. So that kind of feels like, you know, that's the main determiner there. But I mean, only the street mod in Grid Life, Global Time Attack, only street. What else? I don't even know SSCA classes, if I'm honest. So in those two series, those lower classes are the only ones that are going to be able to compete in either the large or the small tire classes, right? So you could have technically some all-wheel drive cars that fit into the 255 section width, 200 treadwear tire class that are like fast, like Sean's car, right? If Sean had stayed in it, obviously he's moving over to GLTC, Sean Kresbach. If you haven't watched his YouTube video, go check that out, Aerodynamics. Talks about all the work we helped him with, as well as some of the suspension. Anyway, the all those all-wheel drive, like street mod all-wheel drive guys would fit in that class, which is some pretty freaking fast cars. So that's cool, but none of the front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive street mod guys would fit into it because they all use the 285. So that's interesting.
Yeah. I'm so confused by the class, but the cool thing is, the coolest thing I've noticed on this website as I look is there is a yellow RX-8 and it's got our splitter support rods on it. And that is that customer's Perry. Thank you, Perry, for running our splitter support rods and then having a picture on the NADA championship. I have no clue why this NADA championship exists.
Does it say Perry somewhere, or do you just know that?
Oh, so I right clicked to open the image in a new tab, and they have Perry's RX-8. And then I looked up any customer orders under the name Perry, and sure enough, back in October 2020. And then so I went to his Instagram page, Perry.Elwood.
Wait, you did this all while we were just talking.
I said a lot of stuff.
So for 9 minutes,
I said a lot of stuff. You have
stalked somebody. All right.
Yes, correct. Because I don't understand the point of the NADA championship. Carry on.
Ouch. Take that.
That's fair. I kind of don't either.
I mean, I like
the magazine feature, right?
That's amazing. Yeah.
I think it's a start of something else, right?
Hopefully, yeah.
This is what I expected when they announced the collaboration between all of the groups, right? This is kind of what I expected as kind of what they were going to do, kind of make a national championship. They kind of talked about it, right? And they talked about, you know, kind of bringing all the cars in and trying to make classes for it. And that's a super hard thing to do. So I, you know, obviously didn't have too much faith that it would be able to pull the fastest cars from each one of the series into a single kind of event, right? Or series, right? That's a difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a start. I'm not gonna shit on it. It's a start. Hopefully it helps people, you know, helps grow Time Attack in the United States, makes it official, all that stuff. That's kind of where I'm at.
My question is, so we've got these SCCA Time Trial Nationals, October 12th through the 15th. And I assume we're going there for the Ultimate Track Car Challenge. But is that the Ultimate Track Car Challenge, is that separate from the Time Trial Nationals? I assume, right?
I have no idea.
I would assume so, because since UTCC was always separate from the Hyperfest.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sure.
It's a VIR. So I would assume they're two different events. Maybe?
So yeah, like can you get points twice?
Do we have to run two laps and sign up for both?
Right, the sign up for both is what I'm wondering about.
Yeah.
Because you definitely have to sign up for both at VIR.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but I mean, that was also obviously run by a different group, right? So I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be a question to ask. But yeah, no, sure, it's interesting. If we have to sign up for both events and then run two different sets of numbers and then have Tom run two different laps.
Or can we just have two transponders?
Yeah, who knows?
True.
We'll ask. We'll ask. We'll see what happens there. But that would be an interesting event for sure.
I mean, I've always liked Grassroots Motorsports Magazine. Like, their writers,
they have cool articles.
Yeah, are good. Pictures are always great. This is the start of something, hopefully, but it's a confusing start.
Yeah. If we think about it from a critical standpoint, what else were they going to do? It's extremely difficult to bring all these people together. So I think it's a good start. You know, it'll get some people, they'll get some points, whoever shows up to those events. I'm already thinking about the cars that will show up to the events that are fast, right? So people that are going to Superlap, who would also be going to Gingerman, who would also potentially be going to the SCCA Championship. I think that Superlap and GridLife will have similar competitors or would have had similar competitors.
Sure.
But I think that that SCCA championship now opens the door for somebody to go there as well, who might have not been there previously, who didn't have the plan to go there. Like, I know that from our perspective, obviously, we want to go do UTCC because Tom really wants to drive the car and really wants to run that track with our car. So that's really why we're talking about making that the goal. But now that it's part of this as well, potentially, right, we still got to ask those questions. But I think that does open up an opportunity for us to at least pull some points for, not again, not that I care about championships, making that clear for the 15th time.
Here it is.
But we can pull some points for Gingerman, and we can pull some points for the SCCA Nationals or the Time Attack Championship. And if somebody else doesn't show up to all three events and we do well in the two events, the likelihood that we'll, you know, could win something is high. And if we're in a magazine, great. If we're not, another day, another dollar.
I just want to say this 2023 mic is weird. You ramp up and then you calm back down. It's kind of bullshit.
No, don't worry. This just isn't the criticality that I'm angry about today.
Fair enough. Understood.
What is Mike angry about today?
Nothing to do with, I mean, maybe something to do with cars, but.
I'm angry at that loud ass keyboard. But anywho,
we introduced Devin to a mechanical keyboard, all you gamers out there.
Fuck, it's annoying.
Oh, I love a good mechanical keyboard.
I'm glad Hayden came on to validate my particular clicking noise.
I mean, two stupid people don't make it right. I mean,
That's true. That's just a gaggle of idiots. It's not just one anymore. So,
yeah, I mean, I'm just wondering what can it lead into, really? Like, yeah. I guess to grow the sport, for me, it seems like, I hate to say it, but I think like GridLife's approach this year with the...
I agree.
But I'm also biased because I feel like it's what I asked for anyway.
Yeah. And again, I just recently talked to Chris about that again and talked to them about how their rules changed. He asked me if I liked it or not. And I said, of course, I hate it, but I hate everything because... Time Attackers are never going to agree. We're all going to hate everything. So just move on and just do what you want. That's what I told. I've been saying that same thing to Chris for 10 years. And it's like, you know, Chris and Adam, I'm like, just do what you guys want to do. Do what you think is right. Like in your opinion, like what you think is right to grow your own brand. And that's right. Like just try not to listen to the outside world. If you want my opinion, I will obviously give it to you. But past that, do what you think is right. Because everyone's going to complain no matter what you do. But you are clearly doing something right if you keep selling out all these events. And then on top of that, with our news from the last podcast that, you know, feeder series, or I shouldn't say feeder, say, what's the word I'm looking for? Support series for NASCAR at Road America. I mean, they're clearly doing something right. So do what you want, really, right? That's my opinion.
Do you think we could get somebody from SCCA on this podcast? Because I don't understand their time trials at all.
And well, I'm it to is think, fairly complicated.
Yeah, like who does
Chris,
it?
What's his name? Is Chris Willard? Is that his name from SCCA?
Oh, yeah. He used to be Redline, Time Attack, yeah?
Is that the same Chris? Or am I thinking of something wrong? Am I?
No, that's the same Chris. Chris started it with, name begins with an N.
Yeah, Nick.
Nick, yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the same Chris.
Chris?
So maybe, okay. Yeah.
Let's talk to Chris. I mean, he's known about us for what, 14 years then. So
when we get him on a podcast.
Yeah. We'll talk to Chris. I don't know why we're having a discussion on a podcast about having him on the podcast, but here it's Inception podcast time.
Well, here we are.
If we get Chris on, there'll be an episode of Chris. I'll just say that.
That's fair.
If it terrible. Happens. But no, I hope it grows. I hope it helps. I hope the new format for GridLife helps. Again, would be sweet. And I was actually really thinking about it recently. This is going to be really stupid sounding, and it shouldn't even come out of my mouth. But I was watching football, which is a new thing, obviously, for me. And
slightly disrespectful, but okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you get it. But listening to commentators, right? So believe me, I'm gonna roll this back around to make sense. But people, obviously, Tom Brady is making a shit ton of money. He's finally retiring and he's not going to come back. Yeah, right. Whatever. Maybe. I don't know. He's going to do it four more times. Who knows? Anyway, he's going to.
But remember, you can buy Tom Brady's butt sand on eBay.
Oh, butt sand is awesome.
Okay.
He's going to commentate what for Fox or something like that. And he's taking the place of what's his name?
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen. Yes. Thank you. Greg Olsen. And so Greg's going to be apparently working less games because Tom Brady is going to be taking over more games. And it made me start really critically thinking about announcers, right? Do I want to hear Tom Brady talk? Probably not.
Absolutely not.
But he could be great at it. I don't know. But normally when I hear him talk, I don't like it. So I kind of like Greg Olsen. But then if you talk to other people hate Greg Olsen. Other people, I like when Romo, you know, does Romo things. Other people hate that. Some people like Chris Collinsworth. Some people hate that. All I'm saying is that I think the particular announcing and how the, you know, live stream is commanded with, you know, the announcer or whatever it may be, you know, the commentator is of critical importance. I was watching a lacrosse tournament and the announcers left huge gaps in commentating and it drove me in freaking insane. Like you have to be saying something. Like it's so boring to watch. Like, I mean, not for me, I like watching the game, but if you don't know what's going on, you need somebody there talking to you, telling you what's happening. And I think Time Attack needs that. And so I started really thinking about it. It's like, it really comes down to having really good announcers who know everything about the product. And not to say that the announcers for Time Attack haven't been good. I think they've been as good as they can be, but they're not necessarily doing as much of the background work that would be required to really make someone interested in the background stories like you get with, you know, obviously like Netflix doing shows on F1, right? We talked about that last time where that series really grew viewership in the United States because people got to see the background story, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's of critical importance. I think showing that story, we talked about it before, but showing the story, knowing the cars, knowing the information about the cars, how they're built and all that stuff is super important. So that is a very large task. That's a monumental task to be able to get right because you have to know about all the vehicles. You have to get the background for the vehicles, all that stuff. And it's hard, but I think it's important.
So do you want to be that person?
What, to announce?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. I don't know if I, like with, you know, with us competing again, I can tell you, like when I did it, obviously at Global Time Attack, people were really receptive. I got some good feedback, you know, at the end of that. I didn't really do that much. I didn't really, but I knew a lot about the cars, right? Because I'm so involved. I know a lot about the cars. And they were receptive and people were really nice about that. You know, if you have anything to say that's negative, shoot it. Let me hear what you got to say. But
see, you said that aggressively.
Yeah, of course.
Say it nicely.
I growled a little bit. Anyway, let me know. But my point is that I think that's really important. People, like, I gave a lot of information about the cars. I gave a lot of information about the products. I gave a lot of information about the series and the engineering involved. And I think that's important. I hope I didn't, you know, some people, it's probably too much because I talk a lot, but I think that's important, obviously. And I think that it's going to be more important as we move forward.
Well, you need two people, though.
Yeah, two people. Yeah.
You need the, like, person who's got all the information in the background, and then you have the person that's announcing the event live, yep. You know.
So yeah, like Kyle, like just somebody that's more lively what's going on.
Yeah, Kyle's great. Yeah. I think I could mesh well with someone like that. Like he's got that shit down. I'm so impressed.
He's tuned in.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's awesome to listen to him. You know, we should have him on. We should have Kyle on. Oh my God. We should stop talking about who we're having on. Anyway, yeah,
it's kind of weird.
Anyway, Kyle does a great job. And I think, but I can add some color and some, you know, color commentary. And then I can also add some technical background to a lot of the cars. Cause I do know about them and I'd be willing to learn about how each individual competitor has built their car and why, and have a talk with them because God knows I talk too much. So just saying, I think that would be something that needs to happen for Time Attack. I think that World Time Attack tries to do that a little bit, but then they bring on some experts occasionally, but those experts don't know necessarily about the individual cars unless they work with them. So if you talk to like Andrew Brilliant and he's talking about Under, it's really cool to talk to them. If you talk to, you know, if Tilton's out there running, right? And then they have somebody from, you know, why am I blanking?
Voltex.
Yeah, man.
Voltex, thank you. They have somebody from Voltex on. Holy shit. I was like, Varus. All I can think is Varus.
You blanked to get quiet. I thought your mic unplugged.
I thought the stroke happened. I was like, we got to go to Wisconsin. Help Mike.
The Popeyes got to him.
Oh my God. Damn lead gas.
Yeah. It's so like if you got Voltex, right? You have somebody on who can talk to the car. That's great. Right. And so you have these commentators who do know about individual cars, but I think it's important to know about the field to bring that perspective and also give some of that perspective. From a, you know, from a lay kind of situation where these cars are going this fast. It's very fast. You know, these are the next class. They're going very fast for what they've got, you know, all that. And some of the history as well. I think that's all very important. That's all.
So I was not paying attention to anything Mike was saying. And I was Googling in the background. What do you think the fastest SCCA time trial lap time is at Buttonwillow?
Or Button? Oh.
Is this according to their website, the track record?
I don't know. What year, though? What does it say? What year?
2022.
Oh, it does say that.
In a Corvette Unlimited Class 1, which would be, I think, what we would fall into.
T1? I thought TTU would be the fastest.
Sure.
It's very confusing. There's two Unlimited classes, Unlimited 1 and Unlimited 2. And okay. We are under the displacement for Unlimited 2. I don't know. We might fall into one or the other, but doesn't really matter.
148.
157. No, 153.
I was going to say 153 is my second guess. So 148, though.
What do you think, Hayden? Any guess?
Oh, I have no clue. I'm not even going to attempt.
151.
So right in the middle. I mean, close enough.
Oh, it just split us right in the middle. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
good. No, don't say the next words, Dan. Don't say the next words.
The Price is Right.
Don't say the next words. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's slow. Anyway.
Come on, man.
Oh, you had to do it.
No, it's
okay.
The thing is, I don't know anything about the class, so I have no idea what they're allowed. And a lot of SCCA stuff is power to weight as well. And their rules, like, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I think that's what's going to be hard about these things for SCCA competitors, though, because if Global Time Attack has unlimited power, if GridLife has unlimited power, if, you know, they can be built to any rule set, I don't think a lot of SCCA cars are built to, let's say, unlimited rule set. I think that's almost unfair to them if you think about it that way.
Kind of think the unlimited class is like an unlimited rule set.
Yeah, they can have two frames and
yeah, you know, two frames. Aerodynamic is unlimited as long as it's not adjustable. Tires are unlimited. I assume it's the same configuration. That's the only thing I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, find out.
But
I don't want to get too sad, too spicy.
We can look at Gingerman though.
Sure,
G-Man.
What do you think? What do you think that one is?
133.
20. Let's say 28, 27. I think.
We're gonna go with a 131.
Let's do a 27.
Ding, 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 ding. Hayden's right. 131.5.
Wow. And that's
interesting.
And that's what? TT1, TT2? What are we talking about?
It's Unlimited 1, whatever class Unlimited 1 is. Okay, I have no idea.
That's everything. Unlimited 1 is the highest class. So that's no minimum weight. That's the only difference.
And those can be two frames that could be like a radical?
Yeah.
Yes, that is correct.
I mean, that radical, didn't it run? That radical came to GridLife when we ran that 29, didn't it run a 30?
Fuck if
I thought that was an SCCA car.
Could have been.
That was a radical cup car from Team Stradale.
What'd they run?
I don't fucking know. Oh.
Just bring it up. Don't know. Okay. Anyway, no comment.
I mean, maybe we should just go beat up on the easy people.
Oh, God.
Jesus. Well, we're just big dick in the night, huh?
All right. My God. that's a hard thing, too. Like, it does put it into perspective. Sean ran a 131.3?
Did he? I can't remember. Man, that's a question for you.
Yeah, well, I think 131.3, 131.5, something in there. It's a mid. It's 131 mid. I think Alex ran a 131 mid. Maybe it was 131 high, but I think they were like right on top of each other.
Sure.
I don't know who actually has the faster lap there.
Interesting.
Well, yeah. I'm looking instead of paying attention to you.
I mean, that's going to be like that. I think that's going to be a dig. But anyway, maybe the SCCA guys need a little bit more time and energy, or I don't know what they need, but they need to pick up a little bit of speed there to compete. I think it's going to be hard. Like, again, if that's the case, then it's going to be hard for those particular guys. Maybe there's different regions. I guess that's a good point. SCCA guys have a tendency to stick in their region, which is good and bad. Good because they're so familiar with the tracks they're at. Bad because maybe some of the fast guys aren't in that region, meaning that they're that fast, you know, quote unquote, the fast car didn't come, right? Who knows? The fast car could be in like Montana. And he only runs Montana tracks. Are there tracks in Montana? Anyway.
Probably not.
You get it. You get what I'm saying, though. Mm-hmm. So, like, we go all over the place, like, because GridLife's all over the place, because Global Time Attack's all over the place, we have a tendency to travel to these tracks. But maybe they don't. So maybe some of the fastest cars in the country never actually went to Gingerman, and maybe that's an opportunity for them. I don't know. So I don't want to completely bring them down.
Yeah, but that's fun, though.
Ouch. Take that.
It is fun. Are these times at 91 seconds? Is that what that means?
Yeah, I assume. It's got the worst.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's how they do
it. Why is this complicated? This is stupid.
It's a running clock. Just time's hard. Anyway.
Oh, that's from our friend Grant Walker, huh? Interesting.
What did Grant run?
That's who ran the fastest in Unlimited for them.
What?
And the and that Miata thing.
Yeah. The V8 Miata.
I don't know. See, this is why you should be announcing. Grant Walker.
Never mind. You're saying, off. Yeah, no, I know when he did that now. From Mechanical Advantage.
There it is.
Yeah. Yeah. See? I know when he did.
So you should be announcing. You know all this stuff.
I know when he ran that lap. Yeah. I remember now when he ran that lap. I remember when he made that post.
That's what you remember when you made the post.
Yep.
You remember goddamn lap, shut up.
No, I didn't watch the lap, but I remember him making the post that they won the first place in that whatever.
And number five, 1, 2, 3, yeah, is our friend Shailon.
Luke? When did Luke run there?
2019.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay. He's coming back for Pikes Peak, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that. Told me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Luke. Eric Streeter is in the top 10.
What did, so you know. Yeah, Eric is. Tell Eric to go faster. He always has to go faster. Anyway, what did Luke run? A 36?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, that's what I thought. And Eric's in the top 10 because he ran a 41?
No, 36 as well.
Oh, he ran. Oh, wait. Sorry. The Lotus. Well,
correct.
Catamaran.
Yes.
Yes, he ran that 36 on the Caterham with 109 horsepower or whatever, 140 horsepower.
Other than that, there's not many people that you would know from the, you know?
Yeah. Again, interesting. So Grant's at the top of that list. I'm wondering if people didn't, like, if there's other people who are faster who haven't come for.
VIR, the fastest time is a 153, which we ran.
Who's that?
That's Kyle Carrick in a 2015 Nissan GTR.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that car. Yeah, we ran a 56 with 400 horsepower, 370 horsepower, something like that.
Yeah, the car was busted.
Oh, Justin was there. Interesting.
Yeah, on TDs.
Yes.
Not the TDs are bad, just on TDs.
But it was...
They were busted
with
TDs.
With McDreamy, so...
He yeah, was, it was with, yeah. It was...
Jeff.
Yeah. Oh, McDreamy, you're an idiot.
Yeah. I mean, he pulled some sauce out of that. I think we've talked about it before, but if you watch that lap, it is on YouTube. Feel free to go to professionalawesomeyoutube.com. That's not actually the... Don't go there.
YouTube.com.
YouTube.com. YouTube. Fucking boomer here,
backslash, I think it's 777 Professional Awesome or Professional Awesome 777, something. There's whatever. There's a
colon
doesn't
involved.
There's a colon and a double asterisk for fun. We put it in there. Anyway, if you watch that lap, because we don't have power, Jeff is... I think that's the best lap, one of the best laps Jeff ever drove, sure, because he is trying so freaking hard to make our car a momentum car. And because it can't get out of corners, it's just so slow. I remember him because Dougie Fresh was there that day. And Doug ran like 167 down that back straight and we went like 147. And Jeff's like, the car just stood still in the back straight. And we were like pulling our hair out trying to figure out what was going on with it. Ended up being that it was switching over maps for some reason because it was looking for an ethanol content that didn't exist.
And, oh, really? I didn't remember what was wrong with it that time.
That's what it was. And so it didn't know what to do with itself. So it had pulled all of the timing, 26 degrees, I think 27 degrees was the max that it could pull. So it pulled it all out. Car stood still. So Jeff drove the shit out of it. It barely made any power and older TDs and all that stuff. And it's just a really good lap to watch because he does a very good job with a car that is not acting right, as he does always. But yeah, it's a pretty cool lap. Anyway, like I said, I'm wondering who the fastest people are in SECA and if they would come out to these and what that would look like. What's Justin? Is it Justin Peachy?
Yeah.
He's got to be six. He's got to be one of the, he does SECA, right?
Occasionally.
Yeah. I thought so. So he's got to be one of the fastest in SECA. We could actually have him on as well. Anyway, I wonder, like, cause his car would run better times. Like, I think his car would probably run a 27.
He was in there. He's on the VRI one. I just got clicked off of it.
What did he run? He ran VIR.
There it is.
When, what year though?
Second, 2021.
Okay.
117. So it's what? 157?
157. Yeah. It's a good time. 157. It's not a bad time. I think at Gingerman, I think he'd run a 27, 28, somewhere between the 20, high 20s. I think he'd run in there.
Yeah, for sure. Hands down.
I think he ran a 203 or 204 at NCM. Am I right?
I'm looking for it now.
Okay.
Road Atlanta times are pretty good. At 123.
Yeah, who's that?
That is Eric Fleming in a 2006.
Okay. Yeah, he just ran that. Yeah, Eric just ran that time.
And Jackie Ding did a
26.
24.
Oh, shit. He did a 26 in global, so he must have gone faster.
Yeah, in 2021.
Jesus Christ. I mean,
that's not slow.
You're just cementing to me that you really should be the announcer because you get really excited.
I'm just saying Road Atlanta's a power track, right? You can make a lot of time up. Jackie's car with the transmission with a lot of power, and obviously Varus did the aero. It's efficient. It's a great car, right? We all know it's a good car. But that's a fast time, right? We ran a 22. I mean, ran a 22.
Yeah. Car was still broken.
Car was broken. A car's always broken. I'm just saying 24 is a great time. No doubt.
Yes. Yeah, oh, no. It's smoking fast.
And Eric running a 23. And then Johnny had his guy. I don't know who the driver was, but who's ever got that 25 in there for a Miata? I think, does it say Miata?
Oh, I got to go back. Undo.
Go back, internet.
There's no Miata in the top 10.
Okay, what cars ran a 25?
25, 2009 Nissan GTR, Jason Guzman.
Oh, Guzman, yeah. So he used to run our parts. I don't know if he still runs our parts, but Jason's got a black GTR. Really nice guy. I like Jason. Next one.
Next one is a 26, Kyle Carrick again.
Okay. So he's running around doing stuff. Okay. So he's gone to multiple
stuff
tracks.
Stuff and things.
Yeah.
Oh, they're two different years. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, that's it. Yep.
Then it's Chris Engel twice.
Chris Engel twice?
Yeah, from 21 and 20.
Yeah, what Viper. Is he? A Viper, yeah.
14 okay. Viper, so right. The ugly one.
The ugly
one. Rude. Straight to his face.
They're not my favorite generation, but I still like them. Anyway, I think that some of those people, like if Eric, so again, if Eric came out, if he can run
Eric's
a 20.
Fast.
Yeah, if he can run a 23 at Road Atlanta, he could probably run like a 26, 27, depending, right? Because Road Atlanta does some weird stuff, right? It's a lot of power. And his car, he said, makes seven and change, mid-sevens. And so it obviously doesn't help as much at Gingerman, but I think he could still run a 27, 28 right in there as well. So maybe faster. I don't know, but it's hard. I mean, if you look at, Ferris, he ran that 24 and he was pushing as hard as he could. So it's a hard one. Eric's car is very well built. It's very balanced. It's an even build. Nothing too crazy though. I think it's got the potential to build more speed too. So I think if he went to more tracks, I think some of those times would come down elsewhere. Cause he's got to be in the mid 40s, maybe 45s, not 45s, probably 46s if he went out to Buttonwillow. But why would he do that? Because what a mistake that would have been. Right. So there, he would run a 45, 46, maybe a 44 on a good day at Buttonwillow. And then that's respectable, pretty freaking fast. And then run a 27, 26 at Gingerman, maybe a little bit higher than that, depending, given it at all. Obviously run a 23 at Road Atlanta. That's fast. So, yeah, I think it's hard, right? I think it's hard because of how that SCCA is so segmented at Grid Life and Global Time Attack is not. They really like to stick to their regions.
Fair.
Where there's
well,
there's
that was
no
one
regions.
Thing I was thinking that you have to go to each website to each region to their
right,
individual
to look
websites,
up the,
and
I hate
all
that.
Their websites look like they're from
1921. Yeah, DOS prompt basically popping up. I wish that I've always wondered on that. I wish there was like a database. Like I wish SCCA would host all the regions' websites, give them a template, and then just allow them to upload to that template, right?
Well, there just shouldn't be regions. I mean, at this point.
I'm okay with regions. Like, I don't disagree. I'm okay with the regions in that regard. People like their own little world, especially if they're doing autocross as well. That's a lot of SCCA, right? Remember that. And, but I think that they should, like, to make it so that everything looks the same, it's very easy to find. It's very easy to get to different regions, right? You go to the SCCA page. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this exists. I don't know.
Well, I mean, everything's central for the time trial site itself, but it's just obviously since it's being kind of new, it just doesn't have all of the fastest times that have been from an SCCA competitor on this.
Sure. Fair enough. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? But also, like the railroad would tell you, since you had an okay idea, you can go fuck yourself. So,
I mean, I don't need permission, and I don't need encouragement.
Well, sometimes you need a reminder.
Oh, okay. We're okay with that. So, like, here, like, I just clicked on, so SCCA, I'm on the Time Trials website, SCCA, and then we looked at records and bests, and I clicked on that, and it goes to NCM, and Chris Ingalls, number one, then Andy Hollis in his McLaren.
Right.
And so, well, that's a 212 and a 214, Andy Hollis 214.
But that's also, you're only sorting by year. Like, if you go over to time and sort it, and then just type in your track in the search. Like, why are we doing tech support on the podcast?
What are you talking about?
So type in, you type in the track, and then it comes up, all the fastest will be listed first.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Mike is the smartest dumbass I know.
I just, there's nowhere to fucking do that. I got it.
Even though I just explained it out loud.
Yeah. No, 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 shut up.
It's
just
okay. I got it.
Yeah. I just, no, I did it. I did it. You can shut the fuck up.
You did it by yourself? That's typical, typical white
people. I did. Yeah.
Black people. I get it.
No, no, no. It's true. I don't need your help. Get out of here. So, yeah. Yeah. So, Tom ran in that, in what's his name's ZR1. Like he said, he ran a 205, and that's the second fastest time last year. And then Kyle Carrick ran that 204.
Yeah.
James Rack, so yeah, that's a 911. He ran a 205. Then Kyle again. Then Eric Powell. Yeah. So Justin ran a 207. Okay. So yeah, I mean, they're pretty quick times. So we go do that. We find out, right? I think it's going to be interesting.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
I do wonder if SCCA drivers are going to come out. I mean, I do know some people that I talk to on a occasionally. They won't run Grid Life or Super Lab. They kind of stick to their wheelhouse of SCCA, mainly because they got more class.
Do they give you reasons?
It's for them, it's because they don't want to build a killer car. It's one of those situations where they bought a pretty nice, fairly quick car, and they want it to just dominate as is, instead of, they don't want to go through the whole build process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
I think that is part of that question. We should see if we can bring on Chris or other SCCA representatives. We're going to be the representatives from Global Time Attack and Grid Life. Because
I'm saying
from a competitor standpoint, we can bring competitors on from SCCA. It doesn't have to be freaking Chris. God, calm down. Anyway,
no, I'm just saying what? Chris would love us, and Jason would love us. Jason Deanhart and Chris Stewart would be like, "Whoa, we're representing Grid Life." And
no, I don't mean in that way. I mean representing. I understand. Competitor. Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying I represent Grid Life.
We're here, at all. Official, unofficial.
Yeah. I am really sorry, Chris Stewart, Adam. I am not representing Grid Life. Calm down. Absolutely not. Anyway, I'm saying that I'd like to get those people on that compete in some of those series and see what their thoughts are, right? Do they want to race in Global Time Attack? Do they not do it because of classing issues? Do they not do it for another reason? I'm curious to see just an opinion on different groups of people who compete in different series and how we can cross-pollinate better.
Nice.
I mean, I think it'd be interesting, right? Just to know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if somebody doesn't want to join, like, I think that it is not a, how can I say this nicely?
Here it goes.
It is Fuck not it. A, I don't know how to say this. I'm just going to say
ride.
It. Yeah. It's not a mean statement to say that the fastest cars in the country generally run in Global Time Attack or Grid Life. Okay. So if that means that some people in SCCA do not want to be involved with that because it means that they would have to spend more time and money and whatever, and to, you know, potentially compete, and they would rather win in a, let's say, a less competitive situation, that's fine. Not going to say anything negative about that. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if that is the case.
Okay, fair enough.
And if I'm wrong, someone tell me. Tell me if you're an SCCA person, you listen to this. I don't think we probably have too many people in SCCA listen to this. But anyway, if you are an SCCA-er and you think that SCCA is the more competitive group than the other two, give us a shout. We'll bring you on, well, and we'll talk about it.
You know what they're going to say? That the fucking the three people in their class, since all their cars are built damn near identical, it's so competitive and fun to be close to other people in your class instead of getting blown away from the top three or four in each of the Grid Life or GTA classes, right?
I mean,
like to me, class count matters, right? But to a lot of people, it doesn't. They just want to run into little small groups, and it's all cool like that.
Yeah.
That kind of sounded condescending when I said it like that.
Yeah, exactly. They want to be in their own little group.
I was moving around the mic. I'm sorry.
You almost said safe space out loud. Anyway, that's why we let them come on, and we have a conversation where they express their comments and concerns themselves instead of us. So I think that I definitely think that would have been be interesting, especially now that this North American Time Attack Championship
should be interesting. That's for sure.
So we'll do that. We're going to do that. That's what's going to happen.
Or anything else on you guys' minds tonight?
I mean,
that's a great question.
For the Professional Awesome Race Evo, our fresh JMFab manifold will be done next week, which is exciting, which means we can put on the new Garrett Turbo onto the car and then retune. That's exciting to me. That's really exciting to me, seeing how we had shortcomings, probably from just, you know, from the turbo lag and stuff, from the tip and throttle being a little lean, just getting that all squared away. I'm so excited to see what the car can do when it actually accelerates normally.
So outside of turbo upgrade, what else is because the car didn't break at the end of last year, so it's
new territory. Yeah, that was weird.
so what else is left with that thing?
We have to redo the front splitter just because of damage at Button Willow. And like what's left, like we could run it as is, but we're, you know, forever fiddling. So Grant has been going apeshit on I assume we can say this, Mike?
Are you I don't gonna know. Have He's going to be all sad, I think, until we actually make it work.
Okay, well, Grant's been working on the suspension, and we've been working with Eric Streeter on the suspension as well, getting the frequencies and spring rates dialed in. So we got
to finalize a couple agreement as a agreement. Group.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've talked about it before that, you know, we know how to do all the calculations. We know what we're looking for, but it's always consult other people just because. So
yeah,
don't even if you know how to do something, it just get some opinions. And so Eric's nice enough to give us some extra opinions just in case we're kind of missing something or whatever. Bring more people in. Always bring more people in. Anyway, move on.
So yeah, so we've got to finalize the suspension. And I think that's a huge area for improvement. You tell me, Mike, I kind of feel like the car just came alive at Button Willow for the first time ever. Like
I don't know what
like
that means.
Meaning the aerodynamics like worked better than they ever worked before, along with the braking system. And because of that, it put us in a situation where the suspension was way outside of what we had previously designed it for.
I think a little bit, but I also think that it is a response to data, right? It's a eureka moment in a way, because now we have data to push to it. Because if you look at our old pictures, we still had some squat. We were very low. Everything is very similar in terms of a visual aspect, but then really being able to put it at the data and say, oh shit, look at this. Like that's 3,000 pounds of downforce. Like, you know what I mean? Not, it's a big moment there.
No one ever complained about the handling though, like we had
before. I mean, Jeff even said it was lethargic, like at speed, like it transitioned a little slowly. And I think it's always transitioned a little bit slowly. I remember at Ginger Mint, going through the back section, 7, 8, 9, 10, Tom had said multiple times, like, it just feels like it takes a long time to set. And we're like, we can make it stiffer. It's just not what we want to do because it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily the best for grip. But now we're kind of moving to an area where we may be able to get maybe not the best of both worlds, but a lot of both worlds. Let's say it that way.
Sure.
Right. Because we're adding a complication, but potentially a solution to that complication at the same time. And so I think that we're going to find ourselves hopefully in a position where we're able to run a little bit stiffer car normally, not too much stiffer, but stiffer and have better transitions.
Yeah. I think like in an attempt to get more mechanical grip, we're actually hurting our mechanical grip by being on the bump stops too much.
Yeah, and that is also a potential, right?
By fixing that problem, there's a lot of...
We were too much on the front. Sure. In the rear, we weren't on it at all, but yeah.
Sure. And it sucks because...
But not being on it in the rear was a problem. So a problem's all about.
I agree. It's interesting to think about when we were running the splitter at its height and how much travel... you're limited to before that thing smashes into the ground. You have such a small window to operate within. It's really challenging. And it's got me thinking so much more about having to sacrifice mechanical grip, and you end up getting more mechanical grip by like going stiffer on spring grade, stuff like that. So it'll be interesting. I can't wait to get it back out.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, that'll be good if like I said, we've been on the Gen 2, GTX Gen 2 for a really long time. The GCUs has been out for 4 or 5 years now. We have never upgraded because we're stupid. And so we're finally doing that upgrade. I think that's going to be a big thing. Like Dan said, that'll be cool. More efficient power band all around is what it should be. Better spool all around. Probably should have done it a while ago. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, and I don't know. There's just, it's cool that, yeah, little things, little room for it. It's like amazing how much we have to do and how little we have to do at the same time. Because it didn't break.
Didn't blow up this year. Good job.
Yeah, there's things that I'd like to change otherwise, but we'll keep iterating. We'll keep making it better. The car seems to work pretty well with some small changes that should go faster. And then we have plenty of room to make big changes if we really wanted to.
Bingo.
I'm excited about that. Yeah, there's some things that I want to do, but I'm leaving my list on the back burner until we...
And we have a conversation where they express their comments and concerns themselves instead of us. So I think I definitely think that would have be interesting, especially now that this North American Time Attack Championship exists.
All of it.
Yeah. So we're going to do that.
I don't. That's what's going to happen. Fuck it. Mm-hmm. I still think there's so much room for optimization that at our current power level.
No, I mean it's faster spool and all that. Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm so content at where we are. I don't really want to make more power until all the other systems are a go, and then we can make more power and break shit.
Having the overhead is, I agree. Having the overhead, though, I agree with Grant in the sense that having the overhead is important, right?
Sure.
I wouldn't want to do it, but whatever.
Yeah, and I know Ferris and stuff is making a 2,000 horsepower car, but I think that there's just so much low-hanging fruit that we just haven't figured out.
No, I agree.
Anyone in the Time Attack community that I think...
There's a lot to figure out.
There's a lot to figure out. Well, it's challenging.
That makes it not low-hanging fruit if it hasn't been figured out, just a FYI.
It's like low-hanging fruit for...
Don't say us. I was about to say us.
No. I was not definitely not going to say that. I was going to say for someone like Porsche when they have,
factory goddamn team. Hell yeah, that's great.
No, because they can, like, if we had access to engineers. Their tools and their experience... Like, oh, it'd be like, oh, yeah, you just fucking do X, Y, Z. And it probably is like, 3 weeks of work and we could make the car dramatically better. But we don't know, we're just
3 weeks of work, blind, 20 engineers. In the dark.
Yeah.
Three weeks of work, 20 engineers. How many man hours is that? 120 per person, 20 engineers. How much is that? 2,000 something. Yeah. Okay.
A whole lot of
them. No big deal.
I guess I just want to say that you're not at a low-hanging fruit stage anymore. Like
it's all low-hanging fruit. Everything is low-hanging
fruit. It might not be the top of the tree, but it's fucking up there.
The thing is, for us, it doesn't
feel like it. If we get these sixth-order harmonics figured out, these low-hanging fruit harmonics.
Yeah, right. Yeah, great.
But the thing is, it doesn't feel like, it still feels like I know Dan keeps saying it, and I say it a little bit as well, because... We really haven't optimized too well, and with the data that's available, we can definitely, there's some low hanging fruit. There's some things we can optimize. We haven't upgraded the suspension or rebuilt the suspension in, like the shocks, I'm saying, in 6 years, something like that. And so that alone, just upgrading to the better pistons, making sure that everything's working as it's supposed to, all that stuff from Fortunato, like that to me is low hanging. We know what to do. We just haven't done it. We haven't done it because we haven't given them the suspension to rebuild in 6 years.
So right. I mean, it makes sense, right? I mean, you've steadily been progressing each year and year. So it's still when the car doesn't work, then you kind of can't get the, right? Yeah, put one foot in front of the other. So yeah, I get it, but then I don't get it. At the same time, you sound like somebody just threw 300 yards, won a Super Bowl. And it's like, yeah, well, that was fucking easy. The other team just fucking sucked. We fucking suck, but we still, wait, I guess we got the W. We need 10 more before it's even good. Just take your fucking W's when you got them, right? And fucking say you got some other shit to work on.
Okay, so while we're throwing out suggestions,
Nope.
Fuck you.
Not even gonna accept it.
Anyway, no, I agree. I get it. I do get it. But I do think that there's some things, technicalities that we've done for other people. Like I said this in the past, when people work with us because we're an unlimited time attack team, they think that if they have an unlimited car, that we're not going to give them the good stuff. All of the customers get better stuff than we get, always. So, yeah. And so that's why I would call it low-hanging fruit, is because there's been more work done for customers for a lot of things than there's on our own car. So we need to do a better job of doing that to our own car so we can do better and then sell more stuff. So,
yeah. I'll say real quick, everything that we've learned on the race car and racing and helping other people and all that, I'm applying it to my Evo 10 and I'm mm-hmm. having other people do the work.
Yeah, Dan's not doing shit.
So, yeah, I'm excited. That one update for that is I dropped off the engine, pistons.
Yeah, God knows why he has an engine for it.
Yeah.
Right.
And cams. It had an oil. We're going to be clear here just to understand Dan's perspective on life. It had an oil leak. So Dan's decided he needs an engine.
Yep. Well, it's easier to build an engine and just swap her out without having in a weekend.
Yeah. There it goes again. Low hanging fruit. Fuck it. Oil leak. Take the engine out. Duh, stupid.
I don't even say stuff like that.
I'm the one who does it. Get a built engine. What do you want me to say?
What? Yeah. Huh? Why did this happen? Where did that come from?
OEM plus.
Oh my god! Get out of here!
But yeah, that's great. Dropped off at the IndyCar factory too, by the way.
Right? Yeah. Drop off to the guy who builds IndyCar engines, so that he can build an engine again. Because how bad is this oil leak? A couple spots a week.
Yeah. It's terrible. I'm glad leaking, you agree with me, Mike.
Like a sieve. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Nope. Absolutely not.
This is a guy who can't afford anything. I'm so broke.
I love the qualification, right? Like I need to do this because the engine's leaking. I wish I could convince myself of stuff like that. I just can't. There's just too much Jew blood in me.
Well, can
to do
you
that.
Imagine though? So like he says he can't work on it for a little while, so it's going to be a few months before it's done. Fair enough.
Sure, sure. Shit's going up for him, so yeah.
And the amount of engines he had stuff lying around his place, like, yeah, I understand. The dude's swamped. But, like, if that was the Evo engine, like, the one with the oil leak, that's totally fine other than a small oil leak. If I pulled it out, well, then I had to wait 3 months. You know, and the car can't move. That kind of sucks. So
yeah, no, I get it. I'm not saying
that. Sell the engine that's in it for some monies.
Yeah, I know. You always figure it out. You'll figure it out. Dan's wheeling and dealing over here.
I think that's what we're all good at. We'll fucking figure it out.
Yeah, and yeah, one way or another, we're figured out.
How have we survived this long? That's
nope, no.
Dan's got his OnlyFans working, so no big deal. All around.
Oh, dude, I'd so do it.
Yeah.
So do it if anybody totally would sign up.
Well, exactly. No one would sign up.
It's okay. Well, you don't know until you try. So
that's a good
feel free.
I tried to see it didn't work out.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, whatever. Anyway, so that's the happenings. What's up with your car there, Devin?
Oh, are we gonna save that for another? We're at an hour now.
Oh, we're gonna do that later.
Yeah, next week.
Yeah, sure.
The only thing I want to add is if anybody knows the best way to get a pullout LT with a 10 speed, let me know, because that's what I want to do with the Cobra. All right, that's it. Thanks. Bye.
Psst, it's that time again, boys. I need those goddamn reviews. You can say that Devin is forcing you to do them, or you can leave some genuine feedback, and I'll be sure to read them and get them back to the boys. In the meantime, you can join our Facebook group, which is Professional Awesome Technical Forum. You can follow us on Instagram at Professional Awesome Racing, and we have a Facebook regular page with the same name. But until then, we'll talk to you later, and we really appreciate you listening.